Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back, and we're here in the Roadcaster on Patrick Street in Cork for the Cork Jazz Festival, and I'm joined now by a Cork legend. He's the last man to captain Cork to a national senior hurling title in 2005. Sean O'Gohalpine, you're very welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Brendan. I kind of feel I'm talking to the prodigal son that's returned back home. Kind of welcome back to Cork, Brendan, and it's great to be on your show.
Yeah, and it's great to have you. And listen, when we say that, we're kind of glossing over 2005 there, 17 years since that All-Ireland. But listen, do you still miss it? Do you still miss the buzz of playing at that level and everything?
Yeah, it's a question I get asked quite a lot. I miss June, July.
All right, thanks. My questions are obvious.
But relevant question, no, I miss June, July and August. You know, when the season is full swing, but I don't miss January, February, March, where you do a lot of the pre-season work in the muck and S-H-I-T-E and it's darky, like the evenings are dark and there's no cycle of games at that time of the year. But you know, when the evenings start to stretch and the championship comes around, it's there that you really miss it. But but life has moved on, you know. Even though I'm your quintessential hurler in a ditch now, what keeps me involved is I help with teams, more underage teams in my own local club in the Pearsheig. So that keeps my leg in the door interest. But other things start to take over in life. And so it's always good to have the balance of both, where you could look at hurling from afar, but life moves on. Do you know, your other parts of life move on.
Yeah. And I know Napiershig is very important to you to give something back there as well, isn't it? Because I think it kind of saved your life when you came to Cork, didn't it?
Oh, you're absolutely 100% correct. For the listeners that might know my background, I grew up in Sydney, Australia. My mum is Fijian, dad is Irish. So I arrived here in this street in 1988, which seems long, long time ago, and I didn't want to be here because I knew very little about Cork. My life as a young kid was growing up in Sydney, Australia, so it kind of tore my heart, you know, to come here, I suppose, to new surroundings, new beginnings. At that stage as a kid, you just want to belong to something, to a place, and in stepped in the Pearsheig Hurling Football Club because our first house was up in Fairhill. Dad enrolled us into the club, and my life has changed forever since for the better, and it just gave us a social aspect and allowed me to develop my sporting talent, and so much so I was fortunate enough to represent Cork, you know.
So how old were you when you came here?
I was 10 going on 11 years of age. So you can imagine me as a 10 and a half year old kid coming here, having left all my friends and relatives, I suppose my education up to that point and my first love in sport, which would have been rugby league and Australian rules football and cricket, to come here in February, like, I always get onto that, like, out of all the months, Dad, like, did you have to pick February, like, can I,
grimace,
probably the worst month of the year weather-wise, you know, except the only saving grace is my mum was born in February. That's the only saving grace. And, but yeah, so we arrive here, dreary, cold, winter's February. And then I remember, like, Dad in the phone box, you know, the old telecom air and phone box is looking for a place to stay at that.
Really, was it?
Yeah,
was
for
it
the family.
That level, yeah?
Yeah. I think a few things that he had planned just didn't work out. So, but I mean, we got sorted that night, and then I haven't looked back ever since. But yeah, you're right, Brendan. Back to your question, the Pearsheig would still hold, you know, a very big place in my heart because, in a way, it was a great introduction into Cork, and people ask me to this day, you know, and I've been fortunate enough to be all over the world, but if someone was to ask me where's home for me, even though I was born in Rotuma, which is my mum's island, lived in Sydney, Australia, visited, you know, other places, states and all that, but Cork and Fir Hill is my spiritual home and always will be. Like,
yeah, yeah. And look, you can hear it in your accent. Oh, where your home is. I believe hilariously, given how you talk now, you couldn't understand anyone when you arrived in Cork first, could you?
just to put it in picture, people thought that I was someone from a Home and Away set that arrived in Cork. Expressions of words, like, you know, when someone was counting 1, 2, 3, as they say in Cork, I thought that was a tree with leaves. So a small glitches like that. But, like, I mean, within a year, Brendan, I was your quintessential Corkonian, Northside city, thick accent. And that coincided along those years where Cork were dominating in hurling and football in great years. I mean, like, any young kid that grew up in Cork around that time was spoiled, because Cork, either in hurling or football, were either winning most of the championships or All-Ireland finals for about 6 years. And then back to your initial question, or your statement, where you, like, I am the last winning captain, which was 17 years ago. I mean, like, they talk about famine, but we're really in double famines. Do you know what I mean? Kind of compared to back when I was growing up, because, like, you were accustomed to it and you expected Cork to win.
I remember half days practically every year. You could bank on a half day from school every year.
Yeah.
What did Cork need to do to get back in there?
Very good question. I do have confidence and belief that we do have a young crop of talented players now gathered. Pat Ryan, who's the current senior manager, would have brought these fellas under 20s for the last couple of years. So I think we're ready. We just need to blood those guys. Okay. But in a funny way, and you probably can appreciate this, the one thing that's probably lacking as a hurler in the ditch now these days, which Cork teams were famously known for years, is that self-belief and confidence.
Bit of swagger.
It's just missing a small bit. And then, just to paint your story, when Setanta was living in Australia, he's been living in Australia for the last, I suppose, the 20 years he's been abroad. But most trips I go to Australia, I get a connecting flight in Kuala Lumpur. And you'd be, like, more times at 6 o'clock in the morning, your eyes would be dreary. And then next, like, where else would you see? But you'd see someone with a J jersey in Kuala Lumpur Airport walking towards you. And then they kind of notice you. And then when they get closer, it's a blue and gold jersey, which is a Tipperary jersey. And then when they don who they think it is, and when they start talking, it eventually ends up, do you know, Sean Oak, I hated you when you were playing, and I hated Cork.
Yeah.
And then that, for me, was the quintessential compliment.
Yeah.
When people hated you, and it galls me to this day when I have friends all over the world now, but, like, more so in Ireland, and they ring and they feel sorry that Cork haven't won, it's an insult, Brendan. It's so we need to get back to where people hated us for the very reason that we were dominant, we were good, we had the swagger, and you just didn't give a damn who was in front of you. You were just as good.
Everyone hates us and we don't care. And listen, back to your new life. Now, you're a bit of a barista now as well. Your wife,
Siobhan,
has the quirky kitchen down in Shannon.
In Shannon, that's correct. Brendan, she's a massive fan of you, right? But, like, probably not this morning, because I probably should be down there giving her a hand. So you can imagine when I broke the news that I wasn't going to be at the Quirky Kitchen this morning, giving her a hand for a few hours. But yeah, so Siobhan set up the Quirky Kitchen 2 years ago. Just bizarre how it came about, Brendan. I've been with Siobhan for 20 years now, and it's been lifelong ambition for her to run her own business, being self-employed. And run a coffee shop initially, kind of having a bricks and mortar kind of place like Claire Nash that you had this morning, but not on a scale like that. Yeah. And she was probably with the wrong partner, because my jobs have been, like, in secure pensionable positions.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't see a future in her being self-employed in a high risk business where you're not knowing where your next paycheck is coming from. And because of that, probably lack of encouragement from you know who, you're looking at him, it just hasn't happened. But One day, unbeknownst to all of us, a Citroen HY van just pulled outside the house. She was after buying it. She said, I'm giving you the two fingers. I'm going ahead with it. This is it. And she converted that into, kitted it out where you could sell coffees. And she's been doing it for the last 2.5 years and it's been going strength to strength. And I suppose the hallmark of, I suppose, your job is, she doesn't see it as a job. It's a passion.
Yeah.
It's something she likes doing. It's been a dream of her for years, and then good on her. And
you really do go out and help out every weekend.
I do. And then this is another welcome to Cork. I mean,
yeah.
last year when she was at the height, you know, well, I suppose at the height or when business was really picking up, I was known to get out, clean tables with a tablecloth, and once Mark Alec remarked, says, where'd it go wrong for you, Sean Oak? Like, you played in front of 80,000 people, lifted Lee McCarthy. No, you're cleaning tables at the Crookie Kitchen. Where'd it go wrong for you? And, but, all in good fun. But yeah, I help out around the place. I mean,
it sounds like it went very right for you, like, because clearly you're both very happy now with this new situation, yeah?
I mean, the key to great life and marriage, Brendan, you know, is a happy wife, right? So when she was happy doing what she was doing, and then I was able to give her a hand, that was like sky's the limits for both of us. But and then I suppose having an Inishannon was key for her because she's from Inishannon originally.
Okay. Yeah.
And then for years, like when I was going out, like I was hearing about how great this place was and such a person from Inishannon. And like for me, like beyond the Viaduct didn't exist. And you know, as Cork City people, you know, kind of growing up in the city, I mean, beyond the Viaduct might as well be...
Are you passed through Inishannon on your way west? Like?
Of course. Yeah. It's on the main thoroughfare, do you know what I mean, going through Inishannon. And she strategically wanted to set it back up in Inishannon, I suppose, to provide an offering or a service to the community and the people that she loved and gave her a great upbringing, you know, all those many moons ago. But if Siobhan is listening, I'm after meeting Harry Connolly, Siobhan, right? I mightn't make it today. I think we could be on a hoolie around the city at jazz gigs.
So if you see me Monday, three gigs,
if you see me, you might see me Monday, Siobhan, okay?
And will you go to any jazz?
Probably not this weekend. It's funny about jazz weekends, Brendan. Growing up in Cork, and especially when I was socially as a late teenager, so you were looking forward to the jazz weekend. But like for me, like it wasn't about the jazz for me. At that stage of my life, I probably didn't really appreciate, or like it wasn't cool or trendy. It was a way of catching up with friends that you hadn't seen in a long time.
We know what you're saying. There's about a few points.
But I tell you, I'm a converted fan because I remember watching an ad probably 10, 15 years ago. I can't remember the ad, but the backdrop song to the ad caught, like, it was a lovely, catchy tune. So when I checked it out, it was none other but the iconic song, Take Five by Dave Brubeck. It's funny, like former teammates would listen to AC/DC and they would listen to Guns N' Roses before games. I have driven the games listening to Dave Brubeck's Take Five to get me into the groove.
Okay,
so like,
you know, so I'm the Blue Note
converted.
I can see you're wearing some tasteful knitwear. It's very jazz, actually. Yeah. Okay, listen, Sean O'Gohalpin, thanks. By the way, did you watch Satanta in Ultimate Hell Week?
I did. Yeah. And
you're right.
He just about recovered. Yeah, that was done back 2 months ago, and he's just about come to his senses. Look, he was brilliant on it, and I'm glad to see. It's frightening. Like, so Satanta came here as a 4-year-old. He's now living longer abroad than he has been when he was living in Cork. But I think the show kind of sums them up, kind of like that rogueness that people know about, but the Corkness that he still has, and especially when he came under pressure, the Cork accent comes out.
That's it. When we're getting aggressive or under pressure, having fun. Sean O'Gohalpin, thanks a million.
Brennan.
You have to get back down to Inishannon, do you?
Yeah, no worries. Thanks, Brennan.
All right, thanks, Sean O'G.